Welcome to What's the 211 podcast, where we provide you with information about resources and programs in your community. 211 Maryland is a health and human service line for anyone seeking help for themselves or someone else. You can dial 211 if you need help with food, rent, or other services. Text your zip code to 898-211 or visit our website at www.211md.org. If you or someone is in a mental health crisis or needs help with substance abuse, dial 211 and press 1 to immediately be connected with someone.
Welcome to What's the 211 podcast, where we are delighted and honored to have our guest today, who really does need an introduction. He was our previous state senator for many years and currently represents Maryland's 8th Congressional District in the U.S. House of Representatives, Mr. Congressman Jamie Raskins. Good afternoon, Congressman. How are you?
Delighted to be with you.
Thank you again for taking the time to join us. I know it's a busy time of the year for you. So we know you spent several years in the Maryland legislature, a little over 10. How did that really prepare you for the current work that you're doing now in Congress?
Well, I mean, it's the absolute building blocks of everything that we do. It did not prepare me for the level of political polarization and dysfunction that we have in Congress, because I think that Annapolis operates in a far more cooperative and inclusive way than Congress does. And I think people's general manners and civility are much better in Maryland than they are, unfortunately, in Congress. But I got a great education into a lot of all the main issues. I mean, basically, foreign policy is the one thing that, a state legislature doesn't get you ready for. But living in our area, there's lots of people. I certainly have lots of constituents, the ambassadors, State Department people, military people who, can help on that. So I'd say compared to people who come into Congress not having served in the state legislature, I think that the veterans of state legislatures are really able to hit the ground running.
Oh, that's good. And so, we all have been working through the pandemic since last January. How has that sort of changed some of your work and the needs that you're hearing from Marylanders?
Well, I mean, it's changed everything about our work because, at first we were struggling to get people back from abroad, people who were stuck over there. And then it was getting, the personal protective equipment to people, just finding masks for people. And then we were off to the races in terms of testing. And then there was the economic fallout. So my district office was overwhelmed in trying to address the needs of our community at the same time that I was involved in trying to deal with this legislatively, originally through the CARES Act, and then a whole sequence of legislation that, ended up with the American Rescue Act under President Biden. I was also put on the COVID-19 Select Committee in Congress to try to make sure that the money was reaching the right places, that it wasn't being siphoned off in corruption and in fraud and so on. So, I mean, it's been a tough time for our people, as you know, and we've suffered a terrible emotional and mental health crisis in the country as a result of all of the isolation that people have experienced, as well as the economic fallout.
Yes, definitely, and definitely appreciate all the work. And so you put a lot of effort in really advocating, for support around housing and various issues for Maryland, and especially combating the opioid crisis. When you were informed that Senators Zucker, Augustin, and Delegate Cullison were co-sponsors of Senate Bill 719 that, became the Thomas Blum Raskin Act that allowed 211 Maryland to create this proactive call program, what was your reaction to that?
Well, the people in Maryland have just been very, very good to our family as we've suffered this trauma of losing Tommy on the last day of 2020. And, I know how much thought and work goes into developing legislation, and for them to have, come up with this idea of having the 211 program where the state will assign counselors and doctors to be in touch with you to check in on you, and then to name the whole thing after Tommy. And it was very moving to us, very moving.
Yes, and so what do you see as the impact of that with Marylanders across the state?
Well, we live in a state that is actually invested in the well-being of its people. And that means not just your physical health, but your mental and emotional health. Just because your mental and emotional health are invisible in some sense, doesn't mean that we're going to ignore it. It's just, you know, right. somebody who is suffering from depression or bipolar disorder or post-traumatic stress syndrome is suffering from a serious health condition, just like someone who's got cancer or sickle cell anemia or, you know, some other kind of disease. And I think it just keeps Maryland in the forefront of being a state that wants to use the government as an instrument for the well-being of its own people.
Yes, that's definitely true. And I've heard you speak many times in reference to, you know, stigma around mental health. And our current Behavioral Health Administration is also doing a lot of work trying to remove the stigma, but we in understanding individuals, helping them understand their mental health. And so we know that these conditions are really stigmatized. Can you, you know, share a little bit about, you know, Tommy and his impact that he's had across others and some of his friends and how, you know, sort of what his impact has been, you know, that you've heard?
Well, there are more than a dozen different projects that have been named after Tommy so far, including, you know, soup kitchen kind of activity, scholarships, camperships, the 211 program, there are international things. So his story, which is, of course, not a unique story, but his story just shook a lot of people up and reached a lot of people. I mean, Tommy was a brilliant and dazzling young man. I mean, he was in his second year at Harvard Law School. He was a graduate of Blair High School, of Amherst College, and people knew him to be a very loving, exuberant, connected young man. He was a passionate vegan. He was a champion of animal rights, human rights. And I think that people were startled and shaken and crestfallen about what had happened and wanted to try to do something positive in his memory. And, you know, there should be no more social stigma to somebody having a mental or emotional health problem than there is to somebody having a physical health problem. I mean, I don't think maybe some of that exists, but we shouldn't stigmatize people because they got COVID-19 or they have cancer or they have depression. I mean, these things are just part of the human condition and they're also pervasive. I mean, I think it's probably impossible to find a single family in America that hasn't been touched by a health problem, including, you know, drug and alcohol problems and substance abuse disorders, which are also part of the equation. So we've got to try to incorporate everybody's experience and everybody's issues as we look at how we're going to deploy public resources to uplift the health of the population.
Yes, that is certainly true. And thank you for sharing that. You know, there is a lot to still learn about mental health across the state. Has there been anything that, you know, you have learned yourself that you weren't aware of as you've been sort of outspoken about it?
Well, it's, you know, it's so pervasive, Quentin. I mean, we got more than 10,000 letters, packages, books. You know, I mean, we're still trying to read through the mountain of mail and the email and the calls and so on. And we're very grateful for all of it. But this is something that huge parts of the population are struggling with. Something like 70 or 80 million Americans have dealt with emotional or mental health problems. When we lost Tommy, a study had come out shortly before that showing that whereas in 2019, 1 in 10 people in Tommy's age group in their 20s had considered suicide within the last month, in 2020, it was 1 in 4 people in that age group had thought about it in the last 30 days. So we're talking about an epidemic of mental and emotional health crises. And, you know, I'm a political person, Quentin. I mean, I believe in, you know, politics being an instrument of public education and government being an active instrument of our common good. And so for me, I want every young person or every person who's suffering to have people to connect to. We don't want to lose anybody else. And also I want everybody to think of politics and social life and political life as part of the solution. Like the things that you're going through should not make you feel isolated and solitary. You're going through things that lots of people go through.
That is absolutely true. Your family has started a memorial fund for Tommy, the Tommy Raskin Memorial Fund for People and Animals. What do you all hope that this will achieve?
Well, it's being run by Tommy's sisters and by cousins and also friends, but the fund has already raised more than $1 million, and they're putting it into human rights kind of activity. They've done some grants around refugees from Afghanistan and people in other war-torn areas, the earthquake in Haiti, but also into animal stuff too, which was very close to Tommy's heart, the Humane Society, Animal Outlook, other groups that are working broadly in the realm of human rights and human welfare, animal rights and animal welfare. Tommy loved all living things and wanted to make sure that we kept the well-being of other people very close in our minds.
That's definitely great. And so in closing, is there a message that you would like to share with Marylanders about mental health across the state?
Well, I think that people have got to know that the resources are there to take care of people having problems. And, you know, we have the resourcefulness as a state and as communities across the state to take care of our people. And it would be great for us to have a year when we lose no one to suicide. It'd be great to have a year where mental and emotional health crises are going down rather than up. But that means we've got to get on top of it, and we've got to integrate, you know, the kind of work that you do, Quentin, into everybody's consciousness so people are aware this is out there and we need to be taking care of our mental health right along with our physical health.
That is right. That definitely a great statement. And just as a reminder, I would like to, you know, encourage anyone, if you are in crisis or just need to speak with someone right away, to contact 211 and press 1, or you can text your zip code to 898-211. You can also sign up for weekly check-ins by texting health check to 211-631. Congressman, I want to just thank you for taking some time to come on, and thank you for sharing the story and for really all the work that you do.
And thank you for all the work you're doing. I appreciate it. And hello to all my friends out there helping with 211. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you, Thomas. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening and subscribing to What's the 211 Podcast. We are here for you 24/7, 365 days a year, simply by calling 211. Also connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at 211 Maryland or at dragondigitalradio.podbean.com.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.